The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
And many more.
Yes, happy birthday to Rugby League. 122 years young.
Who would have thought we would have got this far?
I wonder, right, another one, the 21 famous clubs that ripped it away from the Northern Union to give us the game that we know and love today.
Yeah.
If they could come back and see the modern game today, what do you think they'd think about it?
I think they'd stick to Rugby Union.
How dare you say that?
I am only joking, but it's a very different sport, isn't it? You know, than the one that certainly when the separation happened and, you know, we're now 13 men in and all that kind of palaver.
Yeah, it's just a shame George Holtow is no longer with us.
Is it not? Is it
no,
not still standing?
Closed down.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me they've demolished it.
No, it's still there, but it's closed down.
It's now become a, you know...
The plaque's still there.
It's not become a Costa Coffee, has it? Or other
yeah, not
type
that I'm aware of.
Other,
I'm right. Sure people in Huddersfield can let us know.
Okay, okay, right, okay. Anyway, you get the general gist of what we're talking about. This
we're
is,
talking
of course,
Rugby League.
Yes, the final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and also via our friends at Radio General who let us use all the equipment and we do try and sound professional.
Yeah, Rugby League, 122 years old, and we just had the 120th Challenge Cup final.
I know, I thought it was a pretty good game, to be honest.
I thought it was.
I'm not going to go down the old people calling it a classic.
Wasn't it a classic?
No, I wouldn't describe it as a classic either, but it was a really solid game in Rugby League, and you know me and my stats. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep on me, honest, Adrian. No, seriously, seriously. This is the interesting bit.
Your stats are probably as old as the game itself. Come
yeah,
on,
well,
carry on.
Wigan ran for 200 more metres, which would usually signify that they would win the game.
But it's Hull's rock-solid defence. When it's on the game, it's hard to break down.
And the kicking game as well, to be fair. I mean, they were brilliant, weren't they? With Mark Snead doing all of his business. I thought, last year... I weren't sure whether or not he deserved the man of the match and Lance Todd. This year, there was no question he was the best player on that field.
Even Gary Schofield said he was the best player on the field. So that tells you he should be the man of the match.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he's not a real Mark Snead fan.
Now, what did you make of Ellie Rianley also getting involved as well? I really like that. And he also seemed to be having a chat with every single player as he's going down the line. And I wonder what he said to him.
Who knows?
Play to your best.
See, because Ellie Rianley wouldn't do interviews with the media, never got to speak with the great man.
So nobody would have ever known anything what he was going to be saying, would they?
Now, I know on the day everyone was criticising the attendance. All right, 68,000. Not a great attendance, got to be said, but still more than the grand final.
Okay, yeah.
But what everyone's missing, what a nightmare to get down there. You couldn't get a train for love or money. And if you did, you were going 4 hours out your way.
I mean, this is true, and this is something that nobody's picked up on. So I think that you, Mr. Jackson... at your most insightful this evening.
The trains were up in arms, fans were having to find any other way to get to Wembley. Doing it hard, weren't they?
They were, but not as hard as the man we've got on the line at the moment. That's Batley chairman Kevin Nicholas. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And, well...
He decided to walk it.
Yeah, tell us all about this, you know, the walk to Wembley and raising money for charity.
Well, we're a bit tight in Yorkshire, so we thought it might be a good idea to walk. It saved a few quid on the train or the bus.
You must have saw the fact that Euston was closed.
It's 120 years since the first Challenge Cup final. This is how it came about, really. 1897, the Challenge Cup final was played at Headingley. And luckily at that time, Batley were involved and we beat St Helens 10-3. So it's a pretty special occasion for the Challenge Cup, being the first one, and for Batley Bulldogs. So we decided to walk from Headingley, where the first game took place, to Wembley, where the final was taking place this year. We set off on the Thursday. We did Thursday and Friday, so we did about just over 60 miles the first couple of days. And then over the weekend... We have a pink weekend at Batley Bulldogs, raising money for breast cancer. So we came back to watch the Oldham game. And then the Monday to Friday before the Wembley final. We set off where we'd left off on the Friday, which was just south of Mansfield, and then we walked probably about average about 30 mile a day, Monday to Friday, going to the London Scholars game on the Friday night, and then starting on the Saturday at London Broncos to go to Wembley, and that was a 10k walk where we had about just over 130 people from Battler that came on a couple of coaches, and they did the last 10k with us. So it was a bit of a trek, but well worthwhile, and obviously a decent final as well.
What's the response been like since you've done the walk?
Very good, really. The last 3 years we've held this Pink Weekend at Battle, as I said, and each year we've raised £10,000. This year, in particular, the 10k walk with 130 walkers, I think, has boosted that figure. And we haven't got the figure in yet. We probably won't know the final figure for another week or so. But it's going to be a record year for the Pink Weekend, including that walk. And then, obviously, the Headingley to Wembley, that also is raising money for the Benevolent Fund. So, obviously, we're trying to raise as much money as we can, but so far we're doing pretty good.
Obviously, you must have been in training to be able to do that walk. Were you using the famous Batley Hill to get into shape?
No, it's not that steep. It's only about 9 foot from top to bottom. People might think it's steep when they're playing, and particularly players playing on it. The only training I did, my daughter did it as well. She did a little bit more training than me. But the only training I did was one day we both went and walked Wernside, one of the Yorkshire Three Peaks, which is a bit more uphill than we did on the road to Wembley, as it were. But it just got us into the swing of things a little bit. But other than that, to be fair, we didn't really train.
Wow, that's some doing that. How are the legs?
The legs are a little bit achy, but not too bad. I mean, I'm 58, and I'm not the fittest fella that walks around, to be honest. And I always get blisters. So we've got blisters. All five of us have got blisters who did the long walk. But we put these gel pads on that are recommended by our physio and doctor, and strap the feet up a little bit. And although we got the blisters, they never burst, and we managed them fairly well, really. So I actually feel better than I expected I would do.
I suppose the win against Bradford on Sunday made the pain a little bit uneasy to deal with.
Definitely. As I say, I'm 58 years old. I've never seen Batley win at Bradford, whether they were Bulls or whether they were Bradford Northern or whether they were. I don't think I've ever seen them. We haven't played them that much, to be fair, particularly in the Super League era. But I've never seen them win at Bradford, and to win by, you know, a decent score as well is a good result from our perspective.
And what do you make of the Bulldogs' progress this season? I know, obviously, I had a chat with Matt Diskin a few weeks ago, and he was very disappointed with sort of the up and down nature of the performances.
Yeah.
But he seems to have got a handle on it over the last few weeks, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you're talking about Matt Diskin there. Obviously, he's got the link with Bradford Bulls, having been the academy coach there, or the under-19s coach there, but he's never been head coach before. And I think what Matt needs to remember, although he's very enthusiastic and he's very self-critical, this is only his first season as a head coach, and I think he's done tremendous. The season, like he probably said, has gone a little bit up and down, but the start of the season was a bit wobbly, but he's gradually settled in at the club, settled in with the players, and for his first season as a head coach, I think it's a good season from his perspective. And obviously now, as the season's gone on, we've got back into the swing of things from the previous year. And obviously our ambition now is to try to finish as high up in this Super 8 as we can, and try to win the Championship Shield, which obviously we're hoping. I think we are definitely in the in the top four to be in the playoffs, so we've got to win a semi-final before we get to the final. But clearly that's what we're hoping to do. So it's a great achievement for someone in the first season as a head coach. That's the way I see it anyway.
How are the club looking off the field?
Off the field, things are looking good. We've spent a bit of money on the stadium with the the extra income that we got as a result of finishing in the middle eight last year. With a financially sound club, although we were financially sound before last season, to be fair. So we've not got any debts.
Hmm.
We're not a rich club. But it's run on a financially sound basis and it's very stable. So that's good news from rugby league perspective. The more clubs that are stable, the better. And from obviously a Batley Bulldogs perspective, it's what supporters want to hear. They just want rugby league to continue, and that means we need stable clubs.
It's been announced today that there's going to be no changes to the format for next year. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm quite happy with the format, personally. I think it's the middle eights are exciting with the £1 million game, and now this Championship Shield. Obviously, if it's silver, with potential silverware for a team at our level. So I think that's good. And the obviously Castleford have won the league leaders fairly comfortably, but still, I think it's more competitive in the Super League this year, with Wakefield being up there, which is great from John Keir and Chris Chester's and point of view, and Michael Carter and the team. I think they're doing well, and obviously our ex-player Keegan Hurst is doing well at that club as well. So I think, generally speaking, I think it's a reasonable success, and I've no problem with the format continuing at all.
You mentioned Super League is competitive. It's also ultra competitive in that Championship.
I think it is, yeah. If we know that if we don't play well, we're going to get beat. And I think every club's the same. This week, Dewsbury have been on a bit of a high since Neil Kelly took over. I think they've been playing some good rugby, and they got turned over this week. By the Swintons and the Oldhams that are winning again, because they're desperate not to be relegated, but they can beat other clubs, so there's no question of easy games. So again, that's good.
Kevin Nicholas, it's been a pleasure speaking to him. What a great achievement, and well done.
Just one last thing before I go, if there's anybody out there who hasn't donated to the walk, if they've got any spare money whatsoever, they can go on the Just Giving page, and if they just search for Headingley Wembley or Headingley Wembley Walk, they'll get the page there, and you can obviously donate through Just Giving, or you can text WEMB 97, and then the pound sign, either 5 or 10, to 700 70, but all that's on the Just Giving page as well. So if anybody feels able to help these great causes, the Benevolent Fund and the breast cancer charities, then please do so. It'd be greatly appreciated. The page is still open for any donations we can get, really.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Great achievement by the Batley band of fundraisers walking to Wembley. I was just thinking, right, I mentioned the pitch.
Okay, yeah.
Right, that's steep, as we all know.
Yeah.
Right, it's probably easier walking to Wembley doing what they did than what it would be walking up the hill to the stadium.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you start off in the town centre, I mean, that can take you 20 minutes.
Exactly.
It's like scaling Everest. You've got that sort of like angle and stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, but how great was it to hear from him, though? And nice for him to sort of round up how his club's been going in the Championship this year as well.
Oh, it's been a stable club within the Championship, haven't they?
Yeah, pretty much so. And they kind of like, they know where they stand in the world of rugby league, don't they? Which I think is a good place to be honest, because you get so many others who kind of like reach for the stars and end up getting burned. And yet they're not going to do that. They're just going to progress the way that they always have done, just try and take it steadily, aren't they?
Is that a dig at Bradford Bulls by any chance?
Not at all. But the Bradford
sure
Bulls
wasn't.
Will find themselves in League One after, you know, you mentioned it about the non-change in the old situation with regards to...
well fed up with that one.
Yeah, I think they were secretly hoping that there'd be like an 11th hour saviour somewhere, wouldn't they?
But like I said, you back Leeds, they've proven, you know, we've had 20 odd years of Super League, but they've proven you can survive outside the Super League.
Yeah, very much so. And I'd like to think that, you know, clubs like Dewsbury, Featherstone, Oldham, Rochdale, they've all got a part to play, haven't they? And
yeah,
whilst we're talking about the Championship Shield as such, there were wins for Swinton. Great win over Dewsbury, by the way.
Brilliant.
I mean, you know, Neil Kelly's got them running through hoops for him at the moment, but, you know, Stuart Littler's got his lads running there.
I was just going to say, the players are obviously believing what Stuart Littler wants to put in place.
There was also a big win for Toulouse against Sheffield Eagles, who I know, having spoken with Mark Aston, you may have seen it on loverugbyleague.com, he wasn't too happy at the fact of they having to travel on the morning of the game to get to the south of France. It's just a ridiculous situation, that. Does nobody think about logistics? Does nobody think about, if you're a part-time player, you've got to take time off work, you're giving up a bank holiday, you're taking time away from your kids, and when are you going to train for your next game?
No idea.
Unbelievable. I was at a game on Monday. Oldham, well, they won for the first time since the 2nd of July. And afterwards, I caught up with a very happy Scott Naylor. Well, Scott, congratulations. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. It does feel that way, I'll be honest with you. We nearly forgot the victory song. It's been that long. It was good. It was solid. You know, we were in front from the beginning to the end. I thought we deserved it, but I also thought we didn't get a lot of help, if I'm being honest with you. I think the last couple of tries they scored were dubious, if I've got to say. And I think we did something like 7 repeat sets in our own 20 because of a few decisions by the touches. So, you know, we had to do that the tough way, and we did. And we kind of like showed that great determination that we showed against Bradford and Batley. And it just shows you that when you've got that in your team, and then you've got a bit of class like Dave Hewitt and Luke Hooley and people like that. You know, the hookers we have, Kenny, Mattin, Sam G. It just shows you that, you know, you can open teams up, because when you put pressure on teams, you're basically asking them, like, can they defend? And we've not done that enough this season, where we've put pressure on and maintained that kind of pressure. And I think we did that better today. I think we did that better at Batley. But also we showed up defensively, because 6-8 weeks ago, that defence that we did there, we would never have got through that defence, you know. It's a little bit of a change in attitude. There's a hell of a lot more desire in the lads, and, you know, obviously credit goes to the conditioner and the training that we're doing, because it's, you know, we do look fit. We do look like we can match anybody for the full 80 minutes, which, you know, a lot of these games that we're playing, obviously, are probably going to go down to the 80 minute mark. So, you know, it's a big win for us, and it's you know, it's for us, it's a 1 point last week. This week, it's 2 points. And it's, I don't know if it's the first time we've put consecutive points together, but, you know, it's a perfect time to do it. And we've, you know, we've still got some lads to come back as well into that team, which is, you know, there's a hell of a lot of positives floating about at our club lately, and it's not been like that for a long time. It's nice to see.
It was certainly backs against the wall for a lot of that second half. I was really impressed with that, Will.
Yeah, I'm a bit old-fashioned in that respect. I'd rather win a game with your defence instead of fancy players and, you know, amazing kicks and stuff like that. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I'd rather us win a game close and win it by defending, which I think that's what we did today. You know, we showed a hell of a lot of courage when we're doing that defence in the second half on our line. And, you know, we've played Rochdale this season where we've been in front and we've come out and not shown that courage. And, you know, it's it was great to see, and the lads are... deserve enormous credit, and you know, they've just got the bit between the teeth, and it's good. And, you know, it's obviously the running's going to be extremely tough, but with Swinton winning, we've just dragged Rochdale into a relegation fight, so now there's three of us.
Now it gets really interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it was interesting before, I'll be honest with you, but yeah, now it gets really interesting, because it's, you know, where we were, you keep one eye on what Swinton doing, obviously you've got to, but, you know, you obviously concentrate on yourselves. There's, you know, there's no three of us in the fight, and You know, it's the one point that they're now in front kind of now becomes irrelevant, you know what I mean? You want to be 2 points in front of people. So, got still a play Swinton next weekend. To say that's a big match is probably an understatement now. And, you know, if Swinton carry on with the momentum they've got, then all of a sudden Swinton, Rochdale are in the battle. And we've got two home games now. And, you know, we're doing well. And like I said, we've got lads to come back. And whereas before it was a bit daunting, we're now actually looking forward to it.
I know you've already given some reaction about guys that sort of stood up. I mean, for me, Kenny Hughes came on, he sort of changed that whole oomph around to play the ball.
Yeah. Well, we've kind of got three different types of hookers, if I'm being honest with you. You know, Sam's just a one-off, you know. He can be absolutely amazing. You know, he sees things and, you know, he's strong and he's wrestle and tattle and his passing ability is amazing. Matty Wilkie is a bit of a mix of all three of them, really, to be fair. He's clever and he's fit and he's, you know, he can see things, but he's also a tough kid. But Kenny's game is just based on pure and utter attitude. You know, he's just a 100%er. He didn't play last week because of injury and he would have hated it. And I didn't start him today, which I know he would have hated. So I knew that when I put him on, I knew he would be chomping at the bit, really, to prove that, you know, he's the one that should be starting. And, you know, as all season with Kenny, you know, he runs his blood to water for this club and that group of lads, and he did it again today.
I thought your middle guys went well too.
Yeah, I thought Joe Burt was brilliant. He's a bit of a weird prop, if I'm being honest with you. You know, and he's an amazing engine in him. He's great at a wrestle. He's got an offload on him. You know, he's not the biggest lad, as in like size. You know, he's tall, but he's not the biggest lad in his frame. But he works hard. You know, and he tries, and he's not a backward step in him. And then the lads, obviously, that we bring on, people like Wardy and Sid, and we brought Salmon, obviously, in the pack as well, and whatever. They're just powerful lads, and it just, you know, if we do the right things when those people are coming on the pitch, it's, you know, it takes a lot of juice out of the team we're playing against. In the previous two games, we obviously were behind 20 points, 22 points, and when we were bringing those lads on, it has changed the game. And I thought today it did the same thing again, but this time we was in front, so it was nice to see. You know, we've not won for a long time, and it can be a habit and it can be a nervous thing. You know, at the end of the game, things, you know, it's nervous, and you know, I'm nervous, and the lads obviously must be. But it was nice to see us get over the line today.
Nervous. Bows fans of Swinton, Oldham and Rochdale, they'll be biting me nails and everything.
I won't have any nails left, to be honest.
I won't be able to sleep at all.
I mean, it all comes down to what happens over this next three weekends.
Wow.
As it stands, you've got Rochdale Hornets, who have 15 points.
Yeah.
Oldham, who's got 14 points, and Swinton, who have 14 points. And, well, two of those are going to survive. One of them is going to get relegated.
Well, we know Bradford are gone. Who's going to join them?
You know, this is so...
It's a greater Manchester shootout, isn't it?
It is. It's so, so difficult. And this coming weekend, for example, you've got Rochdale against Swinton. Then next weekend, the 10th of September, you've got Swinton against Oldham.
Wow.
And then it could all hinge on the last weekend of games. So you've got, like, Swinton have to go to Toulouse.
Oh, they won't fancy that, will they?
Oof. Rochdale have got to go to Bradford.
Well, you can imagine Bradford not being up for it for that one.
And Oldham host Dewsbury.
Wow.
So there's some real
tasty games there, isn't
there? Tasty games. I tell you what, I'm hoping that I get to go to some of these, to be fair. I think that's where the action is, to be honest.
Based on those fixtures, oh gosh, pick one.
See, I was like this. Oh, I got asked, Udy, and I was like, I don't want to pick anybody.
I don't want to pick one.
I don't want to lose a Lancashire club from the Championship, no, because they all add something to it.
Greater Manchester club now, come on.
Well, okay. I'm still old money, you know.
Only because of the off-field problems, probably Swinton looked the most vulnerable.
How dare you? How dare you? It's not going to be Swinton. It's not going to be Oldham. It's not going to be Rochdale.
All right, so we're just relegating Bradford then. Is that what we're doing?
We'll just do that. They've deserved to be relegated, full stop.
It's a pity we don't have to hear it. Instead of the £1 million game, or what would you call it, the quarter of £1 million game?
You know, I have no idea. I have no idea. I wonder how much it's worth, to be honest. I know that they only get 90 grand, don't they, in the in League One as the central money. Interesting.
Your local hospital radio.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
tell you what, we're looking at the relegation battle in the Championship. We were just looking then at the promotion challenge in League One to join Toronto. If Toronto will do it. What?
You don't want to call that either, do you?
What?
It's just crazy.
I've got a headache looking at the league.
Well,
I really have.
At the moment, just to explain, Barrow are in second place with 33 points. Whitehaven are third with 31 points. So their two places look secure in the semi-finals. However, anything that happens beneath them is still, for me, between three clubs. You've got York City Knights currently with 24 points, Doncaster with 22, and Keighley with 20. Even Workington at this stage with three games left, I've still got an outside chance of making that top four.
Bite your nails time in the League One, isn't it?
Oh, it's scary. It's scary. It could all end up with the Cumbrian Derby to get promotion.
I mean, we're saying Toronto are going to walk it into the promotion. Wouldn't it be hilarious if they got beat?
Well, I don't know about hilarious. It might be very good for the competition, actually,
if
they did. Because, I mean, they've
It'd
led
be hilarious.
It.
Hilarious.
They've led it from week one, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, and they've so far not been convincing, it would be fair to say, in these eights. Okay, they had a decent win at home last week. And I think what helps them, though, Toronto in particular, is that all the games are at home now.
Yeah.
They've already played their away
Pure
matches.
Advantage, isn't it?
So they've got a massive advantage there on home soil, I think. But yeah, I mean, some of these games that are coming up, you've got like Doncaster taking on Newcastle, for example. Then you've got the Knights have to travel away to Whitehaven. Oh my goodness. And then you look at Whitehaven's fixtures, they've got two away games at Workington Town, of all places. And the Toronto Wolfpack as well.
Some tasty games coming up.
Really tasty games. It's unbelievable.
I think all the excitement's in the lower leagues. I think the Super 8s is just not living up to the billing of the qualifying 8s and the challenging League 1.
Tell you what we should do. We should just stick with these bottom clubs, shouldn't we? Never mind your Super League.
And it's all done and dusted. Casper got the league leader shield. It's done. Dusted. Everyone knows who the top four is going to be.
Right. Well, we did have one game taking place before Wembley, didn't we?
We did.
We had the Friday Night Lights, and it ended up being a really good victory again for London Scholars, who had a really slow start to the season, and they look like they're running towards this Championship One Shield final now, don't they?
Yeah, certainly look like they are the form team, and they're doing a good job down there at London Scholars. They've had their off-field problems, like all clubs have, but they're stuck in there, and a decent attendance on Friday. It proves this game before Wembley is a real good money spinner for them.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that the way that they've got it set up, they look forward to that, don't they? And they end up sort of doubling, tripling their attendance. So it's a worthwhile experiment and experience for them, isn't it, to be able to do that and to attract a good crowd. And let's face it, you know, the place where they play at now is a developing place itself. I noticed that they've got a 4G pitch down there now.
Oh,
so
okay.
They can play in all weathers. The main stand that they have there is, you know, very modern and quite plush, really. Okay, the rest of the ground needs a bit of looking at, but hey, let's take it one step at a time.
So does Derwent Park.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Derwent Park, and they spent a lot of money on that, didn't they?
When?
Ahead of the World
Cup.
Oh,
the World Cup, yes.
Yeah, they put new TV gantry in, yeah. And then they had the press facilities, which I noticed they've now given a separate room for the coach to sit in.
And the record Whitehaven's not changed since the last time I went there.
I don't think Whitehaven's ever changed, has it? No.
Anyway, for London Scholars, I was talking to you off air. I suppose the challenge for them, it'd be really interesting to see whether they can actually get in the Championship and have a proper London derby against the Broncos.
What I really like is that they're very much an organic club these days, aren't they? Okay, they tend to maybe get a couple of travelling players that come in every season, but they seem to build blocks, don't they? And I think that key to their success is the fitness, really, of the player coach, Jermaine Coleman, who's was a fantastic player in his time, played for Batley and other clubs up north before having that long spell down south. And his brother, Jaimel, who I know I've said elsewhere how much I rate Jaimel Coleman. It's just a shame that he's had his injury problems. But they were very good on Friday night together. Ended up beating the South Wales Ironmen by 32 points to 4 in the end.
Good night all round for the London Scholars.
Commanding.
And that was a good start for the weekend, because then we had the main event of Wigan versus Hull FC at Wembley for the Challenge Cup final.
Okay, the main event, how was it for you? I know we touched on it right at the tip of the show.
Everyone was saying it was a modern day classic, and I suppose in terms of modern day final, it's probably the best final we've had at the new Wembley. Can we still call it the new Wembley?
Well, go on. Well, we
new-ish.
Can get away with
the
it.
The newish Wembley.
We've been there 10 years now, haven't we?
Yeah. It's from what finals we've had, probably been the best best one we've had at the newish Wembley. But what kept the interest was it was so competitive.
It was. I mean, again, I thought that Hull started very, very strongly, and then Wigan came right back at them. Kind of scored against the run of play in a lot of ways, didn't they, that first try?
Seemed to struggle to get the ball over the line, Wigan, because whenever they got there, they seemed to knock it on, but that was due to the intensity of the Hull defence.
There was a no-try that got disallowed in the second half from Tony Club. Now, I've watched this about 8 or 9 times. I had this discussion with somebody else. And although Lee Radford thought that it had been ripped out, I actually didn't think it had been ripped out. I watched it 8 times and I just thought that the player that I tackled had kept his hand straight and then the ball's come out as Tony Club sort of switched over to try and place it down.
See, I thought Tony Club lost it.
So you're agreeing with me here.
And I thought he lost it.
Yeah, because I think, you know, that player can't do anything else. He's tackled around the ball, and the emphasis is on Tony Club to keep hold of the ball to get the touchdown, isn't it?
Yeah, he lost it for
me. So I actually think that he's took us nearly a full season, Adrian, to get an agreement on something. Usually we pick exactly the opposite, don't we?
We do, yeah. So but that's a rarity.
I'm with you on that. I don't know where we go from here on in now.
A final Hooter podcast where we agree on something.
I know. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. We both agreed on Mark Snead deservingly getting that Man of the Match award as well, so that's something else. Mahir Fanua, what a loss he's going to be to Hull.
Yeah, it's a big void on the wing for Hull to fill next year, isn't it?
Two tries he scored on the big day.
Well-taken tries as well.
Were especially the second one. The second one, he just showed some awesome strength, didn't he, to dot it down in the corner. Seemed to have half the Wigan team in him at one point.
He's a strong person, is Mahir Fanua.
But they'll be pleased that they're keeping hold of Fatuli Talanoa.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, well, this is, I didn't want to risk it, you see. I didn't want to risk it by chucking
the
piece of paper.
I struggle with Mark
Snead. We certainly get that, don't we? Wigan, though, I mean, when it comes down to the final analysis, it was like 3 tries, wasn't it? They scored 3 tries, Hull scored 3 tries, and the difference was George Williams' goal kicking. Could you put it down to that?
I didn't think Wigan played that well, to be honest. I thought Hull were the better team from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that, to be honest.
I just didn't think Wigan brought their A game to the table.
You'll have to forgive us as well if you heard the archers in the background with the sound effects. But that's something that was certainly going. But we're carrying on regardless. And I would agree with you there. I think I can't believe that I'm agreeing with you so much.
Two agreements, we have to stop doing this.
Okay, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Wigan were by far the better side.
I mean, Hull's just done back-to-back cup final wins. We've just done back-to-back agreements.
It's unheard of, isn't it? Our man Steve Manning was down there in the capital. He got us some post-game reaction. And shall we first of all find out what it's like to be a double winner at Wembley? Here he is chatting to Lee Radford, the boss.
Well, Lee, congratulations. Back-to-back Challenge Cup winners, it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, just music to the ears. Just take a while, I think, to sort of sink in the magnitude of what we've achieved. You know, obviously never been won down here by Hull side, and then, you know, a bit like buses, you know, they don't come, and then all of a sudden you get a couple at the same time. But that you know, special group of players, 90% of the squad that participated today was the team that led, you know, walked onto the field last year, and you know, they know the importance of success and chased it as hard as they could.
They always say good teams win it once. Great team was it, back to back, no pressure, can you win it 3 times? I know it's early doors.
Yeah, no, it comes on really. That was the thing I noticed this time around. So we'd obviously won the cup last season, and then all of a sudden February time, you're doing the draw for the next Challenge Cup, and you can't believe how quick it does come around. So, you know, I'm sure if you have a look at the challenges we've faced over the last 2 years, I think we played Catalan, we played St Helens, we played Wigan, we played Warrington, and we played Catalan, then we played Castleford, then we played Leeds, and then we've just beat Wigan again. That's a fair old fixture schedule, and to knock all them teams off, and in some cases some of the manner that we've knocked them teams off, you know, pretty special.
It was nip and tuck, wasn't it? Well, that second half, perhaps that third quarter, the forwards, the team raised the game, didn't they? Got that decisive 8-point buffer.
I just think the first period, they probably dominated field position, and you know, I felt we held our metal on our try line really, really well. You know, the dam didn't break, so to speak, and to come in at half time knowing that we'd been second best in terms of field position. You know, I knew second period when we got a bit was, you know, we were capable of doing something with it, and thankfully we did.
Mark's been there, done it, and nobody likes him, everybody hates him. I'll tell you what, he certainly, the people that are critical of him, he certainly makes him eat the words, doesn't he, again this time?
Yeah, you know, consistently makes them eat the words. If you have a look what he's done for us in the big games, in them games that I've just spoke about.
It's all about big game play, doesn't it?
It is, yeah, and he comes up with them consistently.
And Gareth Ellis, what a way to go, but he's still got a few games, because I'm sure you want to get to Old Trafford as well, mate.
He has to send off that, you know, I really, really want to give him. He's deserving of that, the way he plays the game. What he's contributed to the game, you know, he deserves to be at Manchester with a trophy above his head.
And then finally, it doesn't get any easy. You've got Leeds next week, and then you've got these at your place again.
Yeah, and they'll be stinging, obviously, from today. So huge challenge. You know, Wigan are still obviously chasing the four as well. So, you know, we've got some real interesting, chewable games coming up.
Not much time to celebrate, is there?
Chewable games? I've never heard that.
What about the celebrations?
Before.
It's literally, you've won the Challenge Cup, forget that, you've got a game.
I feel really sorry for Hull, actually.
They're playing Thursday.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? They're only going to have just about got sober by Thursday, aren't they?
So they literally have had a celebration in London on a Saturday night, and then focus somehow.
Then they've had the big
game on Thursday.
Then they've had the big home coming on the Sunday,
yeah,
haven't they? Then it would have been probably business as usual from Monday.
Civic reception on Monday night.
Or would they have been called in today for a training session and a captain's run straight into a game?
No idea.
It's bizarre. But I mean, to be fair, what's made Sky pick that game? That's just an oddball pick by them, isn't it? Because it could have affected Leeds as well, because Leeds were in the semi-final.
Of course, yeah.
So we could have been talking about it either way. I just think that was a game that, of all games, you'd want that on the Sunday, wouldn't you?
But it's like Wigan there, all right, they've lost, so they're going to feel a bit down about it, but they've got to somehow pick themselves up for a game on the Friday against St Helens.
They won't have to pick themselves up for that. That basically sells itself, doesn't it, to a Wiganer?
Okay, maybe.
Surely it does.
But they might still be feeling sorry for themselves.
Well, I wonder whether Sean Wayne is. He sounded quite down in this interview which Steve did with him.
Well, Sean, your thoughts on that cup final loss?
Tough to take. Not good enough. Completing at 58% in the second half. Our last players wasn't clinical enough. And we still could have won the game. So, a lot to improve on. But once we improve, we're going to be hard to beat.
You got off to a great start. You nearly had a sensational finish.
Yeah, we did. I still don't think our start was great. I think that was against the grain of the run of play. And our start in the second half, they get a 40-20, we give a penalty away on last play. And then we kick it to the full. So you can't start. Tom's got fans like that in the second half. But, you know, we was at about 50-60% of our best today, and we still could have won the game. So, a lot to be proud of. Our effort was there, but just a bit of, lacked a bit of composure.
Apart from the composure, I suppose sometimes it's all about the rub of the green, and without it being controversial, you certainly didn't get that today, did you?
No, we had a few 50-50s, what didn't go our way. There's some odd decisions, but that's not the reason why we lost the game. But it doesn't make it any easier when you're defending your land, so many poor calls, but it is the way it is. I mean, you know, I'm struggling with Phil at the minute, but that's not the reason why we lost the game. But it definitely put us under some pressure.
Well, let's see, you know, they're on back-to-back wins, and Mark's knee creates a new record, back-to-back Lance Todd's.
Yeah, fair play to him. He kicked well today, and he did some really good things at the end of those sets, and we couldn't nail him as good. So good on him. He's a good player, and they're good for the victory.
I know you said before, even if you play a game and you don't play well in you win, it's all about winners. It's an awful place for losers. How do you feel yourself at the moment at this time?
Shocking. Absolutely devastated. It's going to be a while before I get over this one, but it's going to be, you know, middle of next week when we get the players in and get stuck into St Helen. But at the minute, I feel terrible.
I think there's your
shame.
Answer.
Terrible.
There's your answer. He feels terrible. That's what I always love about Sean Wayne, because you just get real honest answers from
him.
No
in between. That's it. It's down the line.
It is.
What you see is what you get.
It is. And I like people like that.
I do.
I do. I don't think we get enough of them in rugby league and in sport generally.
I wouldn't like to be walking into the dressing room and facing them after getting beat, but, you know.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. You know, I think that's the last place that I want to be after
exactly.
losing again. Because, I mean, he's the type of guy that you'd run through a brick wall for, isn't he? You know,
yes.
You think if he says, jump off that building, you're going to ask him when, boss.
Well, he just backed up what I said. They didn't bring their best game to the match, because he did say they were only 50-60% where they would normally be in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And then to be fair as well, you'd probably be looking, heading into a big final, you'd be wanting completions up around 75-80%, you always hear. And they were down at 58 in the second half.
Now, would this defeat for them be the motivation to crash into the top four?
Well, I mean, up until this point, they had been building a bit of confidence. This is why, ahead of the Challenge Cup final, I'd actually tip Wigan to win it, because I thought they were just building the momentum at the right time. I saw them play against Salford a couple of weeks ago, and they tated them. They took them to pieces. They looked really, really good. Is this going to knock them? Can they get back? I mean, you don't need a bigger, a bigger game to get up for again, do you, than your nearest and dearest in St Helens?
Well, if you want to make the top four, the games are running out for them, so they need to forget the Challenge Cup final defeat and kick on with it. The Challenge for a whole, they don't want to be doing what they did last year, not win a game after they won the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, last year they were dreadful, didn't they? You know, yeah. they just dropped out of cycle totally, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll learn though, and I think they're a much better outfit this season, though, Hull. I've just got a feeling. You know, okay, I know this time last year they were sitting pretty at the top of the Super League or near thereabouts, weren't they?
Mm.
But
still lots to play for. They want to stay where they are.
Yeah, there is. But that's the beauty of the eights, isn't it? A lot of people had sort of like said about it, but realistically, even Huddersfield could still make the top four. And is that not what everybody wanted when they brought it in?
I'm thinking about what you just said. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I thought I could see the cogs sort of moving there. That's like, all right, okay.
But I don't think Huddersfield will win the four. I think I'm going to say my top four. I think Hull will stay in it. Obviously, Castleford, they're already guaranteed. I think Wigan will make the four, and I think St Helens will. There you go.
Okay, Jacko has spoken.
There's my predictions.
Parky's not quite
probably won't happen that way, but I think that's who's going to be there.
Yeah, Parky's not quite that confident, because as a tipster, I'm rubbish. But you mentioned Hull there again, and our man Steve Manning caught up
with... He was a busy boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's done us a grand job for this podcast, hasn't he?
He has.
So he caught up with Mr. Lance Todd, double winner, Mark Sneed. And I think he was ushered along. It sounds like he only had three questions to ask him.
Well, Matt, before we talk about your own performance, congratulations. The side have won again. Back-to-back Wembley wins against two of the best sides in the country.
Yeah, unbelievable. We knew full well what Wigan were going to throw at us today. They were obviously a top-class outfit there, know how to win trophies. We knew we were in for an 80-minute performance today, and the boys did disappoint, 1-17.
And that last gasp looks as if they might get at least a draw. Your thoughts there, were you twitchy bum?
Yeah, probably. I was probably a bit nervous for a split second or so, I said, because I was quite online with the pass. So obviously, as long as the ref did his job, which he did, we were never in doubt. And then obviously, we just had them three or four tackles or whatever it was to finish a game off. I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing.
You've shown what a big player you are in big games, and that's back-to-back Lance Todd's, but I think perhaps this one is a little bit better. You get presented by an icon in front of all your fans, which I know that what happened last year, but do you think that was the way to do it?
It's not any better, it's not any worse, it's exactly the same, winning it again. But obviously, having it presented by Ellery Hanley does add to it. It's unbelievable to have him shake your hand and give you a trophy for an individual performance. It was nice, real nice. Yeah.
It was a short interview because he's a popular man. Everybody wants to speak to him.
Yeah. Well
done, Mr. Manning, for grabbing hold of him for us.
Yeah, he does a sterling job for us, does Steve? So well done once again. But
I like the way they changed the format of giving away the Lance Todd. For years, it used to be at a dinner on the Saturday night.
Do you reckon this is so that the players just sort of said, we don't want to go to any dinners, we want to be with our teammates, we want to get sorted?
Probably, maybe.
So do you reckon something like that?
It's
happened?
A good idea that they actually give the award on the day, just after the match.
You know something? I'm going to agree with you again. Can't believe this is
unbelievable. A hat-trick of agreements.
A hat-trick of agreements. It just doesn't happen, does it? Normally,
hey, remember back years ago to the old Premiership trophy, yep. The Harry Sunderland trophy. All right, they still have it for the grand final, don't they?
Was the Harry Sunderland always given out?
Yeah, at the old Premiership finals.
Okay.
You used to give that out on the day of the match.
All right, okay. So they've just gone back to that type of setup, haven't they?
Yeah, good idea.
Probably because players didn't want to get all... dolled up again. I know. Nice. It's just like, let them have a drink. They've won.
They've won the cup.
They've picked up the biggest trophy in the game.
Exactly.
And it is. It's bigger than the Super League one.
It is. And the tendencies suggest it is as well.
So, you know, for me, I think that the Challenge Cup still justifies its position as number one trophy to win in rugby league.
It's the only one we can win, other than the Grand Final.
And, you know.
And the League One Cup.
Yeah, and the Shields.
And the Shields. We've got plenty of Shields to give away.
We've got plenty of Shields. I reckon the rugby league must have got them in a job lot. That's all I can think of.
All eyes turn back to the Grand Final and the Super 8s continue. But it's all about the £1 million game and the big one coming up for Widnes and Lee.
Yes.
At the weekend.
Yes, and you know where my loyalties definitely lie on this one. It's got to be a Lee victory.
It's got to be a Widnes victory.
We've got beat twice by Widnes this season.
We're falling out big time now, all right.
This is somewhere where we'll disagree.
Yes.
Definitely.
It's a Widnes win.
Who will get bragging rights? We'll find out next podcast. Adrian. Best of luck at the
weekend.
Best of luck. Yeah, yeah. We'll have a pint on it.
All right, okay.